morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Northwestern Energy's efforts to recoup Colstrip coal-fired power plant losses, the state's financial outlook, and criminal justice reform during the coronavirus pandemic. It's Wednesday, June 24th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. State wildlife officials say a record number of boats carrying invasive mussels have entered Montana this year. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Aquatic Invasive Species Bureau Chief Thomas Wolf says 18 boats carrying invasive mussels have been detected at check stations throughout the state so far in 2020.
We've never intercepted that many before in Montana. So last year we had 16. I think the prior high was 17. And this is still early in the season.
Wolf says there was a flurry of boat traffic this spring as the novel coronavirus outbreak hit the U.S., and many boaters were returning home to Montana or bordering states and Canadian provinces. But he says there's a new trend of boats with a recent history of being in infected waters purchased in the Midwest heading to or through the state. Wolf reminds boaters that invasive mussels can survive up to 1 month, posing a risk to Montana's invasive mussel-free waterways. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The two leading candidates to become Montana's next governor edged closer in fundraising over the last month, reported. Kevin Trevlin reports.
U.S. Congressman Greg Gianforte, the Republican nominee, raised more than $248,000 in campaign funds over the last filing period, disclosed Monday, while his Democratic challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney, raised more than $207,000 over the same span. Montana State University political scientist Eric Riley.
The race, I think, according to all indications, is going to be pretty close. So the money that's flowing into the two races seems to be commensurate.
Despite recent fundraising totals, Gianforte still holds a massive cash advantage overall, with $593,000 in the bank. Gianforte has loaned his campaign $1.5 million to date. Meanwhile, Cooney has about $170,000 on hand. Riley says candidates with a cash disadvantage often rely on a robust ground game with lots of volunteers. He says restrictions tied to the novel coronavirus pandemic could make campaign funds, and by extension advertising, more impactful in this race. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Kevin Trevlin is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America State House reporter. An appeals court has ruled dinosaur fossils worth millions of dollars unearthed on an eastern Montana ranch belong to the owners of the land's surface rights. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals last week upheld a 2016 ruling by U.S. District Judge Susan Waters that found dinosaur fossils were part of the surface estate, not the mineral estate. The owners of the mineral rights appealed. A 3-judge panel of the 9th Circuit overturned Waters' ruling in 2018, but Mary Ann and Liege Murray asked for a larger panel to hear the case. After a divided Montana Supreme Court ruled fossils are not minerals, the 9th Circuit upheld Waters' ruling. State regulators yesterday started considering whether Montana's largest electric utility should be able to pass costs on to customers for money it lost in the summer of 2018. That's when the Montana Department of Environmental Quality temporarily closed sections of the Colstrip coal-fired power plant over air pollution concerns. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Colstrip part owner Northwestern Energy lost millions of dollars in the 3 months the state shut Unit 4 down for noncompliance with the federal mercury and air toxics standards. The company hopes to recover the cost of energy supply it had to buy in the open market because of that power loss, in addition to making up the difference in expected revenue during the closure. And it's looking to its customers, ratepayers, for that money. Northwestern and interveners in the case before state regulators estimate the 3-month cost recovery somewhere between $1.2 million and nearly $7 million. That would be rolled into Northwestern's request for a total of $23.8 million to be passed on to customers for 1 year to make up for unexpected costs in 2018 and 2019. The Public Service Commission will consider whether that'll be allowed during a hearing over the next few days, starting Wednesday. Consumer advocate Montana Consumer Council and environmental advocacy group, the Montana Environmental Information Center, argue that Northwestern should not be granted cost recovery. They say the shutdown was avoidable and Northwestern was at fault. Northwestern argues the opposite. Northwestern customers began paying an increased interim rate October 1st, and a typical residential customer will see an average increase of about $3 on their bill. Customers will be refunded if regulators approve the increase. The hearing will take place this week, and the PSC is expected to make a decision sometime in late summer. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
State finance officials are generally optimistic about Montana's budget, despite projected revenue impacts from the novel coronavirus-related economic slump. Kevin Trevelin reports.
Governor's Office State Budget Director Tom Livers told Interim Legislative Committee members Tuesday that strong cash reserves place Montana's finances in a, quote, manageable position, particularly compared to other states.
Which is pretty remarkable in the face of a global pandemic. We were able to enter this in an incredibly strong fiscal position, and that gives us tools to manage some pretty tough times.
A legislative fiscal division report suggests the state can use $73 million from the Budget Stabilization Reserve Fund, a state savings account, to offset expected revenue drop-offs during fiscal year 2021. Quinn Holzer with the Fiscal Division said the state is already projected to save $100 million in general fund spending, largely due to unused spending authority in the Department of Public Health and Human Services. Earlier during the pandemic, Governor Steve Bullock said he asked department heads to take steps to cut spending, including leaving vacant positions unfilled. Overall, Legislative Fiscal Division Director Amy Carlson says the bulk of negative revenue impacts will come during fiscal year 2021.
CPAs are really saying, by and large, people aren't going to make a big change in fiscal 20 for calendar year 20 incomes or revenues.
The Legislative Fiscal Division report projects income tax revenues will fall more than 16% during fiscal year 2021. Corporate tax revenues are expected to drop 32% over the same span. Echoing calls among Republican legislative leadership to cut state spending, Senate Majority Leader Fred Thomas Tuesday expressed concern that agencies haven't done more in the short term to mitigate expected revenue shortfalls caused by the pandemic.
I just think that this should be looked at far more strongly so that we aren't pushing the ball into the next session and having a huge problem to deal with then.
Budget Director Livers said state spending would need to be cut by about 3% during fiscal year 2021 if $73 million in budget reserves aren't tapped. Kevin Trevelin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Kevin Trevelin is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Statehouse reporter. Criminal justice system reformers for years have sought to reduce county jail and state prison populations in Montana. The COVID-19 pandemic has sped up the process, mostly at county detention facilities across the state. Charles Bolte reports for Yellowstone Public Radio News for our series that looks at lasting ways Montana is adapting during the pandemic. It's funded in part by the Solutions Journalism Network.
Jordan Gross is giving a lot of thought to a graduate seminar on criminal justice reform she'll teach this fall. Gross is a law professor at the University of Montana. It's on her mind because the COVID-19 pandemic has, in certain ways, had significant impacts already. Here's Gross over the internet via Zoom.
What we've seen is that if the criminal justice system wants to react swiftly and effectively, it can. It illustrates just the tremendous amount of discretion that is baked into the system. There was no change in the law. There was a change in policy.
That change in policy led to rapid reductions in county jail populations across the state in March and April. State and local officials got behind calls to release as many nonviolent offenders as possible. The Missoula County Detention Facility was at 194 county-side inmates on March 3rd. It dropped to 121 by April 28th. That's a 37% dip. Across the state, Yellowstone County saw its monthly average in March of 470 drop to 388 in April. And in Cascade County, the detention center there hit a low point of 380 inmates on May 2nd. That's down from 453. Here's Gross again.
Did we see any kind of negative impact on public safety? Because if we didn't, that should indicate to us that that should be our default policy, not just our temporary emergency policy.
The drops could well be temporary. For sure, they're driven by officials trying to prevent an outbreak of COVID-19, though they can't stop it. For example, 8 women inside the Yellowstone County Detention Center tested positive in May and were then isolated. But to Gross, a shift happened, especially with the population she often studies, pretrial detainees. These are people who've been charged and can be locked up in advance of court hearings.
Pre-COVID, a lot of counties, including Missoula County, were working on thinking about that pretrial detention piece. But this was kind of like it just sort of fast forward and threw everything out and said, let's just let people go who aren't a safety risk.
To help reduce their jail populations, Missoula County officials signed off on a March resolution to block its detention facility from accepting charged but not convicted nonviolent misdemeanor offenders. They're also turning away people who failed to appear in court for the same types of offenses. Kristen Jordan and her team at the Missoula County's Criminal Justice Coordinating Council are the ones crunching the numbers and doing the research. Here's Jordan on Zoom.
We're trying to figure out what exactly happens in the pretrial space. On any given day at our local jail here in Missoula County, we have 80% of the population who is in pretrial status.
Jordan's team is tasked with administering a grant from the MacArthur Foundation. One of the primary goals is to figure out how to reduce jail populations.
We're going to track people who were released early from the initial release period to see what their success and failure look like. And so successes would mean no violations, no new arrests, and a failure, of course, would be the opposite of that. I do see it trending toward really taking a deeper look into who we're incarcerating in a pretrial status.
Jordan says her team plans to finish their research by the end of the summer.
We don't know until we know what the data says. We can all speculate, and that's kind of what got us in this position in the first place, is filling our jails with people in pretrial status because we're speculating that they're going to fail while they await trial.
There's less of an option to try COVID-related releases at the state level, says Montana Department of Corrections Deputy Director Cynthia Wolken.
All of the offenders in our system have been adjudicated as guilty of a felony offense. It's just a different population.
The Board of Probations and Parole did review 274 cases for potential release in response to COVID. 8 people have been released to parole supervision as of May 14th. Meanwhile, ACLU Montana, on behalf of Disability Rights Montana, filed an emergency petition with the state Supreme Court on April 1st. It asked the court to order reductions of inmates across the state. The same day, Governor Steve Bullock issued a directive to the Department of Corrections with guidelines to combat COVID-19. The state Supreme Court denied the petition in an April 14th order, saying the state's executive and judicial branches had already done enough to address COVID-19 in jails and correctional facilities. Here's the Department of Corrections' Cynthia Wolken again.
And we're going to continue to deliver the highest level of services in our prisons as possible, including programming and treatment services, however we can. We'll just keep on continuing to meet our public safety goals and keep folks safe.
For Yellowstone Public Radio and the Solutions Journalism Network, I'm Charles Bolte.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.